Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dialed In. This is a broadcast where we focus on communication, relationships, and personal growth with actionable steps that you can implement immediately to help you live your best life. Our guest today is part of the Big Life series. Now, if this is your first time listening, I'm talking with people who are living life in a big way. And when I say big, what I mean is that they're living a fulfilled life using their gifts and talents, doing things they love. Today's guest is Allison Little. Allison provides clients massive results, strategic vision, and creative solutions to their challenges. She's an award-winning entrepreneur and two-time best-selling author. She teaches from experience on how to build sustainable businesses and organizations. Allison is also a faculty member on the John Maxwell team, and she speaks about leadership, change, and communication. She knows how to engage teams and move forward quickly to get massive results. Her best-selling books, Life Under Construction and The Art of Imperfect Action, highlight useful lessons people can apply in their lives to set and achieve larger goals, find life and work balance, and dream bigger. Welcome to Dialed In, Allison.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Bethany. I am just absolutely beyond thrilled to talk to you today. And you just inspire me and motivate me. And the things that you're doing are just fantastic. And you're adding so much value to the lives of others right now. And I'm just so excited to see your journey. So it's been awesome.
Well, thank you. Wow. It's interesting that you say those things. So I asked you to come on Dialed In because, well, I see you out there helping people, and you help them get out of their own way and completely crush their goals. One of the things that I love most about what you do is you just have this no-nonsense, direct approach. I mean, you're definitely a driver. You do not entertain excuses. And as I listen to you and I watch how you serve, you have this gift to leave people confidently encouraged every time you pour into them, from leading youth on the John Maxwell team to one-on-one coaching to your Facebook Lives that you do consistently. Your passion just shines, and it's obvious that you love what you do. So you're a great example and encouragement for me as well. So my question for you today is, have you always lived life in a big way?
That's the best question ever. And so, first off, thank you for coming up with that amazing question. And the answer is no, right? So for a long time, I lived my life in an area of feeling stuck, of feeling just frustrated, of feeling overwhelmed. I felt like I knew there was something more, but I didn't know what the more was, right? I knew that I was meant to do something different. And I was just so frustrated because I could not figure out what that thing was. And I knew there were people that I could help and that I could encourage. And I knew that I had skills and abilities. And I knew that I had a voice. And I just didn't know what to do, right? Like, I just was so stuck. And I hated it, to be quite honest with you. I felt really, really disappointed because I felt like I wasn't living into my purpose and I wasn't living into my passion. I was thinking to myself, is this it, right? Have you ever been there? Like, where you're just like, is
oh my
this
goodness.
It? Are you kidding me? Like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. Are you kidding me? And I just felt just this doom. And each and every day I'd wake up, like praying for an answer. And each and every day I kept looking for the resources or for a sign or for anything, right? I was so desperate. And it was about 3 years ago that my prayers were answered in one of the most difficult times of my entire life. Like I seriously, Bethany, it was so terrible. It started, and it actually almost probably to the day, it was probably today that my mom gave me a call and she said, Allison, the doctor said that I've got breast cancer. And I just remember feeling like I got punched in the stomach. And my mom raised me as a single parent. She took really good care of me, loved on me, just like strong, female leader, right? She's just a powerhouse. If you've ever, like, if you ever meet my mom, she is just determined, and she's got grit, and she is probably one of the most enthusiastic people I've ever met in my life. And here she is facing this terrible thing called cancer. And we had just sold our house in northern Wisconsin, and we were moving to a different city after living there for 10 years. So I was just like, I was feeling a little bit of like, oh my gosh, now what, right? I had just had a preterm baby. So here I am.
Wow.
I have a tiny little baby who is just so teeny, and I'm bringing her with me everywhere because I don't feel comfortable leaving her with anybody because she's so tiny, and she had so many health issues. We were running to the doctor all the time, right? And I'm not getting any sleep, and my husband and I are frustrated, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to make all this move work, because we're going to move our family down to Wausau, central Wisconsin. And we were living in northern Wisconsin, and we had an office in northern Wisconsin, which meant that we were going to be traveling back and forth, and we had our business was based in northern Wisconsin. So it was just so much. It was so much change, and I was just like, what in the world are we going to do, you know? And even just finding a rental. Like, get this, Bethany. So we're looking for rentals in this new town, and there are none that will accept a dog. We had two dogs, so that was even more impossible. So we're looking at all these rentals because we're going to build a house. That, you know, on top of everything else, we're going to build a house.
Right. Why not?
Why not, right? Why not, Bethany? Why not build a flipping house, okay? We're going to, we're working with our builder, and we need a rental so that we can get all our financing situated, and we can get our building, you know, permits, and get everything situated so we can build this house. And we go to this one place, and there were literally like clown shoes in this bachelor pad, and he had a bidet. It was just like, instead of a dining room table in this room, there was a pool table. It was just, I was just like, then get this. So then my son, who's like three at the time, is playing out in the water feature out front. And I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of a good, I'm trying to look for the good, you know? You know, you're like this too, Bethany. You're trying to look for the good in this situation.
Yes.
And you're thinking to yourself, if I have to live here, I'm going to, seriously. So he's got a stick and he's playing in this water feature. They're like, oh, you probably shouldn't play there. That's where the sub pump empties out. Are you kidding me? This is the rental I'm going to have to live in with my tiny, teeny, tiny baby and my three-year-old son and my two dogs, and it's on a highway. It was just terrible. So I just remember feeling like this gloom, right? And my mom just got diagnosed with breast cancer, and, you know, we were scared about building a business in a different area, and I just didn't know what to do. I had just signed up for the John Maxwell team certification. I quit that, actually. I called up, and I said, you know, I can't. I can't. I just found out my mom has cancer. I'm moving to a different city. I have to try to figure out how we're going to get our business growing in a different city. Like, I can't, right? Mm-hmm. And one of my friends told me, Allison, you know, would that make you happy? And that's the one saving grace, is that one conversation where she said, you know, you should really sign up for that. I think you need it right now, because life was so hectic, and I needed some, like, little tiny positive piece. So, yeah, that's in that time, you know, I learned a lot about what life's all about, right? Like, I remember sitting in the emergency room, waiting room, after my mom was having her surgery to get the cancer out, and staring at the clock and just watching it tick by, right? And just watching it tick by, and just waiting for the time that, you know, they would come out and say she was okay. And in those moments, in those really hard moments when life is so difficult, you wonder, like, you just are like, how in the world am I here? How in the world am I here? And what am I going to do? In those moments, I realized that I wasn't living full out, right? I wasn't living a big life. I was waiting for opportunities to come to me. I was waiting for somebody to, like, essentially knock on my door and say, hey, Allison, I'd really like you to write a book or to speak on this stage or to help me, right? And what happens in life is that is not what happens. Realistically, that never happens. Like, you have to go out and make stuff happen. And thankfully, my mom went through all of her cancer treatments, and we helped her, and she's good now. She's in remission. But it was at that time that I realized how short life is, because I had my own cancer scares during that time. It was just so scary. Mm. And I think you get to this point in life when all yogurt hits the fan and you go to yourself, what do I really want? Right? Like at the end of my life, what do I want people to say about me? Do I want them to say, oh, well, she was really good at doing the compliance manuals for her financial planning firm? No. Right? Although I did them and I set it up. But no, that wasn't my purpose. That wasn't my mission. That's not who I was and how I needed to serve the world in a bigger way. So I think, you know, in some of our darkest times, we learn so much about ourselves. And I remember crying to my mom, just being so frustrated because I wanted to figure out what I needed to do. And she's like, Allison, just be you. Like, don't look at other people, because there's only one of you on this planet. And you need to use your strengths and abilities to play full out and do whatever you need to do. You don't need to worry about it. And and just, she allowed me this, like, before that moment, I was trying to please everybody, right? I was trying to build this financial planning firm to please my husband and to please our clients and to please, you know, whatever I thought success looked like. And it wasn't until I decided that, you know, pleasing people isn't going to get me the results that I need in my life. And it's not me living into my purpose and into my passion zone, right? And so as soon as I did that, as soon as I was like, who am I and how do I serve in a bigger way? I took that, my book, I had my book finished, Life Under Construction, on my computer for months. And I took it and I actually had written it while my mom was going through her cancer treatments and when I was in my Life Under Construction zone. And I, thankfully, I don't know how it happened. I believe that there's a higher source that's guiding every single thing that I do and just protecting me and bringing me on my journey. But that higher source was helping me find solutions to this really difficult time in my life. And the people and the resources and the ideas, they kept coming to me at one of the most difficult times in my life, and I wrote them down because I was like, maybe this could help one person. I don't know who that one person is, but maybe it could help somebody. And so I'm going to just write it down while it's happening. And that's what my Life Under Construction book is. And not that you have to be going through, like, as much tragedy as I was, but even, you know, all of us are going through some sort of change. And that's what that book is about, is helping people deal with change and figure out where they want to go next and what that looks like and go from chaos to clarity and really thinking about, you know, this, like, I have control of me and here's how I'm going to do this. So, yeah. That's my long answer to the question.
No, that's a great answer. Okay, so you mentioned that you, a couple things. I guess I'll start with this one first. So that you figured out who you were and you started to really be you. What were some things that you did to find yourself?
Great question. So one of the things is I got really curious. I got really curious about who I was and what I needed to do. For a long time, like I said, I was a people pleaser. I'm a mom, right? I'm a business owner. I'm a daughter. I'm a sister. And I'm putting everybody else first. And I wasn't taking the time to just kind of go into this self-discovery mode. And so as soon as I got into this, like, kind of Life Under Construction zone, I started to just discover who I was. And I started to get really curious about, okay, well, what's my personality? Oh, what's my strengths? I used StrengthsFinder 2.0, my strengths are this. Oh, yeah, I remember that, right? Because I'd been doing so much that didn't align with who I was that I forgot who I was. You know, I was so busy taking care of everybody else that I forgot who Allison was and who I truly was and how my gifts and abilities could serve in a big way. And I started to, you know, in my book, I go through some of the exercises, but I started to figure out, okay, well, what did I do when I was a kid? Like, what would I play for hours, or what would I do, you know, what was really fun to me? And I recognized, like, I used to, so I started speaking to large audiences when I was in third grade, and I got them to laugh, and, you know, I also was in a big production for a musical in fifth grade, and I was Minnie Mouse, like, one of the leads in that, and just, you know, that was a common thing that I did for my entire life. Like, I was in forensics. I went to state every year. Like, oh, I really like speaking. I really enjoy that. I like talking to an audience. That's one of my strength zones. I had forgotten that, right? And I really truly thought, well, you know, do people pay for that? Apparently they do, because I've gotten paid for that. You know, I really like writing. I used to write and write and write, and I read books like I've been, you know, since I was young. I devour books all the time. I'm always reading a book. Right now, I think I've got three going, but I'm always reading. And so, you know, thinking about, I always had this dream of writing a book. And, you know, I just started to get curious about who I was and what I needed to do. And I got, and it almost felt selfish to me, to be quite honest with you. I felt kind of selfish taking the time to figure out what I wanted, not what my kids wanted, not what my husband wanted, not what my family wanted, what I wanted. And I got really clear that, you know, my passion is to empower people to design lives they love and businesses they love. Like I love strategizing on business building and helping, especially women entrepreneurs go to that next level. Like I built businesses for the last decade, and I didn't realize, you know, I built brands, you know, 7- and 8-figure brands. And so for me, I can look at something and be like, oh yeah, I know why that's not working. Right. And whereas other people don't see it, they don't see it because they haven't done as much in that arena. Or I can see a system or a process that's missing, right? Like, it's just because I've been doing it for so long that I get it. And I think, you know, it wasn't until I stopped for a moment and I said, okay, I'm going to get really curious about who I am and how I could serve in a bigger way. And I love leadership, right? Like, that was another thing I realized. I'm like, oh yeah, in seventh grade, I started this leadership journey and I started to develop myself as a leader because my track coach told me I was a leader. And in high school, I got to go to Washington, D.C. and, you know, just, and then as a young leader in my 20s, I was leading people twice my age. And that's when I really started to dig into John's content, John Maxwell's content, and use it. I was not just reading or listening to him. I was using it every single time I worked with my board, and we became state leaders in the state of Michigan. And it was, you know, all these little things started to align, and I started to recognize, okay, well, I kind of like this, and I kind of like that, and, you know, maybe this is how I could help serve. And, you know, I think as I'm speaking to more and more people, and especially women, I feel like we don't give ourselves permission to stop for a moment and really dig into who we are and what we want. Because I think if you can figure out what your giftedness is and what your strengths are, and then align that with how you could help people and make money, like, that's like the perfect thing, right? Because now you're not only, you're operating in your strength zone, you're super happy doing it because you absolutely love it, and people pay you for this, right? So, like, you know, just trying to align those things really helps you.
I love that. I know for me in my journey, I spent so many years doing what I was taught was normal. You know, you go and you get a job, and then you work your way through college, and then you get a better job. And it didn't even occur to me that you could even, first of all, I could start a business. And secondly, that I could love what I was doing. Like, I watched my parents essentially kind of struggle through their jobs. I mean, they were good at their jobs, but they didn't love it. They couldn't, you know, they complained about it and they weren't passionate about what they were doing. And so I just thought that was how it was. And I'm here to tell you, and this is exactly what Allison is saying, is that you can love what you do and serve in a way that uses your strengths and your giftedness. And we all have strengths and we all have areas of giftedness. And if you're in a space where you're not loving what you're doing, there's hope. You can find your passion and your purpose. And I love what you said about being curious about yourself. So go back and remember the things that you loved, the things that brought you joy, the things that you could do for hours when you were younger. Just start making a list of those things, and you'll find all kinds of clues to your strengths and your passions. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's, you know, as I, now that I reflect on that time, I recognize, like, I look at my husband, and he's the CEO and financial advisor at our financial planning firm. And, he loves what he does, right? Like, if he gets to go and meet with clients and talk to them about their financial life, like, that is his sweet spot. And I believe that each and every one of, I mean, even our executive assistant, Sherry, she loves serving clients. She loves the details. She loves keeping track of things, right? If you can find that thing that you just are like, oh my gosh, I really enjoy this. It really makes me happy, and you're making money doing it. And when you're growing a business, you can't just turn on the funds right away, but you should after a while be able to start monetizing what you're doing. And I think, as soon as you can start doing that and start growing your business, that's where it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. There's so many times when I'm getting paid for something and I just can't believe that I get to do this, right? We had a leadership conference called Launch, and I just remember being in the room and looking at all these leaders from all over and just thinking to myself, I can't believe that I'm here, right? Like, I can't believe that this is what I get to do because I love it so much and I get to serve in a bigger way. And that's where, I feel like a lot of people, especially if they haven't gone inside and gotten curious about who they are, they may, especially with the rise of social media and just this comparing and judging, right? They might compare their life or their journey to somebody else's journey. And rather than, look at their strengths and abilities and say, okay, I'm on my own path and that path is going to look different than her path or his path. And that's okay, right? Because I'm a different person. Like, there's nobody else like me and I have a different voice and I have a different strength, A lot of times what we do is we say, well, I like their journey. I like what they're doing. And we compare or we judge. And I think as soon as you start to get into that, into that game, it kind of essentially puts out your fire. And I think, what I've been able to do is just say, I'm just going to do me. Like, I'm just going to do my thing. And along the way, I'm going to be giving high fives to the other people that are on the journey. Like, I'm going, hey, go Bethany. Hey, go, I'm giving high fives along the way because I want them to succeed too. And I think, especially as women, we need to start lifting each other up. We don't need to compare or judge or push each other down because that doesn't make anything better for any of us. We need to lift each other up. We need to see our strengths and we need to know that we're on our own path and we're on our own journey. And it's okay if it looks different than the person next to you. And just because they're at a different level doesn't mean that that's even your journey, right? And as soon as I'm able to recognize that, like, I don't need to compare. I don't need to judge. Like, I want to lift people up. I'm not tearing them down. I'm looking for the good. And if you get some of those energy trainers in your life, being okay with saying, you know what, that just doesn't serve me right now. Not that they're, that you're like saying, oh, I'm better than you, but just, that just doesn't serve me. I send them off in love. I love on them from afar, but they can't be close to me because I'm on this journey and I'm on this path and I have to surround myself with brilliant people.
Wow. What a good point. It's kind of, John Maxwell talks about the five people that you spend the most time with, that you're the average of those five. And I think there's so much truth to that. And I know for me, I spent years not even recognizing who was an energy sucker and who was a life-giving person in my life. I mean, I just was on autopilot and just existing for so long that it took me being curious and having some thoughts about how I felt and recognizing and being aware of that before I started to realize, wait a minute, I feel bad after I spend time with this person. It doesn't mean that person's bad. It just means for me, that's not my best. And being able to have good boundaries. And I think that's hard for us as women too. I think, we want to be liked by everybody and we want to be accepted and we want everyone to think that we're great and wonderful. And that can be hard. It's part of our caretaking and people pleasing. But I think the more that you know who you are and live into who you are, the more you see who those people are that need to be in your inner circle, so to speak,
Absolutely. Can I just say something really quickly?
Yeah.
Hey, friends that are listening to this, you are not going to have everybody like you, and you do not need to like everybody, and you do not need
Absolutely.
To apologize for it. Own
Preach.
It, right? Because it is a misconception of women that we need to try to make everybody happy. And I lived that for too long, right? I was like, I have to make all these people happy and I have to say yes to everything and I have to be the best, I have to volunteer for everything at school and I have to be at every meeting and I have to be, just making everybody else happy. And it wasn't until I started to own the fact that I don't need everybody to like me. I really don't. Like, I need the good people to like me. I need the people that are in my tribe to like me. I need to serve them really well. But When you start stepping outside your comfort zone and you start doing really big things, there is going to come a point when many of the people that really are close to you are not supporting you anymore.
Absolutely.
And that was a hard
Absolutely.
Truth that, there's a hard truth in that, that some of my best friends were the ones that were the biggest critics in my life. And I had to be okay with saying, you know, this isn't working anymore. We need to just take a break. Maybe at some point we can be friends again, but I cannot have you being passive aggressive to me, trying to tear me down because you're not doing what you want to do in your life and you're unhappy about it and you're trying to project it onto me. I cannot have that in my life, and be okay with that. And it's scary at first. Mm-hmm. It's scary to say, you know what, I'm gonna have the confidence in myself to say, this is what I'll accept and this is what I won't accept. And to be alone, you know, like to say, oh, you know what, I'm going to give up on that relationship because I know what's best for me and I know that I'm going to a different place. And in order to go to that next place, I need to surround myself with people that are out there chasing their dreams too. And if you're not chasing your dream, if you're sitting on your couch making excuses for why you can't do, be, and have what you want in your life, and you're criticizing me, my goodness gracious, you are not a part of my journey. You know,
and it wasn't until
I started to say, you know, really recognizing that, like really recognizing that, I just don't have time for that. I just don't. And I think that as soon as you start to get this momentum built in your success journey and when you're operating in a higher level and you're trying to serve in a bigger way, you are going to have people that don't like it because you're intimidating them by the things that you're doing and the way that you're serving in a bigger way. You're going to have people that try to tear you down. You're going to have people that you thought were your friends, that you thought were your supporters, say that it's not going to work or that they're not going to support you or just try to go behind your back or try to manipulate you. Like, I don't talk about all of this all the time about, you know, the hard stuff, but it is going to happen.
Right.
There's going to be people when you start your business. I remember when we started our financial planning firm, there were people in our family that just, like, they didn't even recognize that we took a really big risk to try to save a failing financial planning firm and serve clients in a really big way. They just didn't even, they just like, just ignore it. We're just going to ignore that is even happening. And then when we have any success, if we have any, they just don't say anything about it. And it hurts. It hurts because you're thinking, oh my gosh, like, are you kidding? But then as soon as I recognize, like, this isn't about me, this is about them. Feeling
insecure. That's the rub.
In their life. And about not dreaming big enough and not going after their goals and dreams and giving themselves excuses for why they're not going to go in that direction, right? And so as soon as I was like, oh, that's why that's happening. I send you off in love, my friend, but, you know, read my book. And then, you know, maybe eventually you'll come back to me. And there have been people where I'm like, hey, here's my book, read it. And eventually they come back and you know, they're going after their goals and dreams and recognizing they have their own journey to go after.
Wow. Yeah, there's so much truth in all of what you just said. I think it's scary for people sometimes to see somebody living big because then they can internalize that as them being even smaller. And so then...
It's not the truth, though, right? It's not the truth.
No,
but you take and you have strengths and abilities that are different than me, friend.
Right.
You know, whoever that is.
Yes.
Like you have things that you need to honor in yourself, and that's not, you know, me writing a book or me speaking on a stage or me doing this does not have anything. It doesn't take away from you, right? It doesn't take away from you. It doesn't mean that you're any less than. It means that you need to step up, maybe. And maybe you need to step up, but I'm here to support you and give you a high five and say, let's do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one of the things that I have found to be the most difficult in this journey is that, you know, as soon as I started to say, you know what, I'm going to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I'm going to start taking and living life in a really big way, which means that sometimes people aren't going to be happy with it. That was a difficult thing, and it still is. I mean, you know, sometimes people aren't very kind. Some people aren't very nice. Some people don't understand, and they're still, like, you know, living life in that that place of denial, right? And I think that, you know, understanding that you don't have time for that. I say that all the time. Like, I just don't have time for that. Like, I love on you. Listen to my podcast. Listen to my whatever. Like, I've created resources for some of those people that are struggling, but I can't subject myself to that constant negativity. I just can't. I don't have the energy to do it. I need to stay in my, like, into my positive bubble so that I can go out and I can serve in a bigger way. And I think, you know, as soon as you start living life in a big way, you're going to recognize who's sucking the energy away from you. And it happens where you just start to, you go by them and you're like, oh my gosh, all you're doing is blaming and complaining and talking about like life 10 years ago. And you're not living in the now, and you have no goals, and you have no dreams, and I just really don't have very much in common with you. And that's okay, but, you know, like I send you off in love.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, one of the first times when I started diving into this piece of it is I was challenged to make a list of the things in my life where I felt light and the things that felt heavy. And just sitting down for 10 or 15 minutes and writing out those things and the people really gave me some clarity on what direction I needed to go. So if any of you listeners are struggling with this, that would be a good starting point for you. So Allison, for the sake of time, I'm going to transition. I do have one more question based on what you said in the beginning in your story. You said, don't wait for opportunity, make stuff happen. Could you speak into what that looks like?
Absolutely. Okay, so I taught this yesterday on my Facebook Live, but here's how I think about whatever challenge I'm trying to face in my business. I use this in nonprofits and for-profits, but you know, I'll think about one thing I'm trying to solve, one problem I'm trying to solve. For example, when I was launching my first book and my second book, my challenge was, how am I going to let people know that I did this? Right? Like, how am I going to let people know about my book? And so I would get a big piece of paper, and in the middle, it says like, okay, how am I going to launch this book? What does this look like? And I would just write all the ideas. I would just, like, I call it a brain dump. I just let all the ideas flow. So it's kind of chaos, right? Like, I've got all these different ideas. And then I look through all of the ideas, and I circle the three that are the low-hanging fruit, the things that are the easiest for me to implement. So for me, I started to contact people I already knew that had opportunities where I could speak, right? Like maybe they have a little store or they're, you know, in an organization or whatever it looks like. And I started to do that. I posted on Facebook, I need a book launch team, and people started to sign up. Like, you know, these are just low-hanging things that I did to launch my book. And it was because I stopped and I brainstormed all the different ideas. And we do this in our business, our financial planning firm often. I do this in Allison Lowe Consulting all the time. You know, when you're feeling like, okay, I don't know what to do next, instead of just sitting there thinking about all the different opportunities, because you'll get lost in all the ideas, right? You'll get lost in like the chaos of your mind. I put it down on paper and I look at it and I evaluate, okay, what's the easiest thing for me to do? What's something that I could do right now, right? Maybe it's calling five people. Maybe it's contacting the chamber. Maybe it's contacting that friend of mine that, you know, knows somebody. Maybe it's making a list of all the places I want to contact. I don't know what it is, but taking and making it simple for yourself. So then you have free things. So you went from chaos to clarity. You have all of these different ideas, and now you've got the three things that you're going to do next. And now you take your planner and you schedule in those three things. Those are your three things that you're going to be working on that are going to get you the best results, right? And, you know, when you're growing a business or you're trying to do something in your life, you know, a lot of us think, oh, we can have 55 things that we're going to be working on right now. That is so full, right? And I think, you know, yes, we're multitaskers, but if you can focus on three things or focus on one really big thing, you know, when I was writing my books, that was my main focus of my time and energy. Like 99% of my time focused on writing my book, 1% of my time, everything else, right? Like when you're focusing on something, you need to put your time and energy toward it. And I think that's where you get the results that you want in your life. So I would say, if you're trying to figure out what's next, if you're trying to figure out, okay, you know, how do I make money doing this? You would put that as a question in the middle. And you'd say, okay, what are all the different ways that I could make money? What are all the different ways? Okay, so what are the easiest ways for me to try to start making money in this business? Oh, okay, these three things, perfect. How would I do that? And then you start, you know, strategizing. You don't need to have a whole bunch of ideas. You need to have one really good idea. And you need to put your time and energy into that long enough to make it work.
That's perfect. Wow, Allison, that's great insight for not waiting for opportunity, but being able to make stuff happen. So speaking of opportunity, do you have anything big happening on your end these days?
Great question. Thanks, Bethany. I actually have a global corporate client that I'm going to be doing some training on becoming a person of influence for. It's one of John's books, John Maxwell's books that I absolutely love. And they contacted me and asked me to do a full day training on that. And I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to see how I can serve that client in a really big way and just help the people in that organization understand how important it is to add value to your life first, right? Like to become the better version of yourself first and so that you can lead in a really big way.
Wow, that's very exciting. I will be watching and listening for more information on that as things continue to happen for you. So thank you so much for being on today. I always like to wrap things up with just a few takeaways for people. So if you haven't been taking notes and you've been listening, this is a great time to get out a pen and paper or pull up the note section on your phone. I have three big takeaways. Now, there were probably 53 I could have pulled, but I pulled out three from what Allison shared with us today. Number one, be yourself. Don't compare your journey to others. Be curious about yourself and remember when you were younger, what brought you joy, what you could spend hours doing. Understand who you are so you can move forward into all that you were created to be. Number two, find and spend time with the people that lift you. I call them lifters, but the lifters in your life, people who make you better, people that after you've spent time with them that you feel like a better person just because you were in their presence. And then number three, don't wait for opportunity. Make stuff happen. When you're stuck, brainstorm ideas and just do the one or two things that you can do today. One step at a time consistently is what leads to success. So as we wrap things up here, Allison, what's the best way for people to connect with you?
Thanks, Bethany. Connect with me online. I'm on social media. I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook. My name is Allison Little, so AllisonLidde.com is my website. And just connect with me and let me know how I can help serve you. I do leadership development training, coaching, and write books and speak on stages. You know, depending on what people need, I'm available to help you. So I thank you so much, Bethany, for making this such a fun experience. It's such an honor to be on your podcast. It's so awesome to speak to your listeners. I just appreciate you so much and what you're doing to spread light and positivity around the world.
Oh, thank you, Allison. It's been a pleasure having you on today, and I know the listeners have gotten some significant wisdom from everything that you've shared. So I will post Allison's website information on the podcast description. And just a reminder, don't forget to subscribe to Dialed In so you don't miss an episode. And you can also easily be part of my mailing list so that you're inboxed every week with tools, tips, and upcoming guests on the podcast and more. Just go to BethanyClem.com. Until next time, take action, live big, and stay dialed in.